We are privileged today, and I'm delighted to be welcoming someone who has changed my life, actually. My heart math instructor and coach. Been working with her almost a year now, and it's been absolutely amazing the ways in which she has been a blessing to me. So let me tell you a little bit about her. So Sandy Travis has worked for 30 years as a coach, consultant, and trainer around the world. She also spent time in the Peace Corps after studying biology at Cornell and Yale. Sandy has recently shifted her focus to heart-centered living and partnering with people ready to make a profound impact on the world around them. She has recently published a book, her first book. I'm affirming there will be many more. And her book is called Passage to Freedom, Courage and Resilience on Your Cancer Journey. But it is so much more than a book for people who are dealing with a cancer diagnosis. It's a beautiful spiritual book, a lot of wonderful practical exercises in it. I absolutely, totally love it and consider it a blessing to offer it here at our church. So Sandy will be doing a book signing after the service today, and you can have an opportunity to look through the book and ask her any questions. I'm going to interview her today about heart math as a practice, the difference it's made in her life, and I'll talk a little bit about the difference in mine. But before we begin that, I have just a little video clip to show you off of Sandy's website. It's giving you a little primer about the science behind heart math.
Over the past 18 years, our research center has investigated heart-brain interactions, how the heart and the brain communicate with each other and how that affects consciousness and our perceptions. One of the things we identified in our research was the state we now call coherence. And what we found was that when we're feeling positive emotions, like we're really appreciating the sunset or really feeling love or compassion or care for someone, that the heart beats out a very different message. The heart generates by far the largest rhythmic electromagnetic field produced in the body. And what we've now found is that if we look at the spectrum analysis of the magnetic field radiated by the heart, that emotional information is actually encoded and modulating into those fields. So by learning to shift our emotions, that's changing the information we're encoding into the magnetic fields radiated by the heart, and that can impact those around us. We are fundamentally and deeply interconnected with each other and the planet itself. And what we do individually really does count and matters.
Well, welcome, Sandy. It's an honor to be here. It's wonderful to have you with us. So we've talked a little bit about some of this in some of our previous services, about the power of the heart, the energy field emitting from the heart. So what exactly is heart math?
It's a spiritual but not religious practice that also has very practical applications. The heart obviously comes from the heart. The math part is an algorithm that they use, but it's really about how to create heart-centered living in our modern world.
So what exactly do you do when you're doing heart math? What is the technique? In general terms, consistent.
And I often joke, it's simple but not simplistic. So there is a particular form of breathing that you do, and we're going to close out with one of the activities. And then you add a positive emotion. And part of heart math's contribution was the discovery of when you add that positive emotion, what it actually does in ways it connects your heart. Because heart math is really about connecting the heart, the brain, the emotions, and in this arena we can say spirit, in a way that is in amazing alignment for heart-centered living, intuition, and also optimal performance.
So the key components are your breathing
that's
and focusing right. on the heart.
Focusing on the heart and then adding a positive emotion. So all the different techniques have
emotion.
Different ways of adding a positive emotion into that mix.
So how would you compare it to meditation?
And I'm a real proponent of meditation. I meditated for years. It sets up a different frequency. We're going to talk about coherence. It's a real specific way that your heart is sending messages, a pattern your heart is sending your messages from your heart to your brain. And one of the distinctions is that most of the time when we meditate, we need, at least I did, I needed to go into quiet space and, you know, allocate 20 minutes. The nice thing about when you learn how to be in coherence, you can do it eyes wide open anytime, any place, and at high heart rate. So if, I don't know about you, I have no intention of creating a heart attack, but if I had an EMT coming for me, I want them coherent, focused, and moving at high heart rate. So that's the distinction. They're both really valid, wonderful tools and complementary in many ways, but they're distinct skill sets.
So that's really interesting. I hadn't thought about that before, but typically in meditation, you go apart and you have a designated time for meditation, which
right.
is actually
and
what I do.
And basically you slow your heart rate down
yes.
to get into that wonderful relaxed state. So it's distinct from relaxation and the place you go to in
yeah.
meditation.
But then with heart math, it's something you can do in any situation, even if it's a high stress moment, you're saying you can turn within and really within seconds, basically get yourself realigned.
Absolutely.
And into what is called coherence.
Coherence,
so
yes.
would you describe what coherence is?
So at the highest level, coherence is essentially what I just mentioned, a way of getting your heart, your brain, your emotions, and your spirit in sync in a very, very specific way. There's actually a specific frequency associated with coherence. And when you do that, all sorts of things open up. I know, and I know you're going to speak more to what opens up in terms of consciousness. That's one element of it. At a very practical level, it allows for a different level of intuitive decision making. And I love the synchronicity of the daily word today. I know we all are confronted with change in our life. Many of us are wired, tired, stressed, don't feel like we have enough energy at the day, and you know, what's this chaotic world happening around us? So it's a way of weathering that and having resilience in that kind of world. That's unfortunately probably not going to wait, so how can we manage it from the heart place internally?
So to share, I share everything mm-hmm. with them. When I first started going to Sandy, it was in large part because I don't think it's any secret that there's a pretty high burnout rate for ministers, and I was feeling exhausted and kind of depleted energetically, and I kept telling myself I just needed more rest. I just needed sleep more. And so I heard about Sandy. Actually, she came in and introduced herself to me one day. And so when I got with her, she said, well, what you really need is not necessarily more sleep. You need more resilience. I thought, well, that's interesting. And I have practiced transcendental meditation before and other forms of meditation, such that what she was talking about, how it slows down your heart rate. When I first tried to use my meditation techniques with heart math, it kind of looked like I was, you know, dead. I mean, because it was so slowed down. So the breathing into your heart makes a very big difference. But I've been actually, here's my testimonial, been pretty amazed that within usually a 3 to 5 minute session, I can feel restored. I can feel a shift, not only in my energy, but in my perspective. And you call that topping off your energy, right?
Keeping your tank topped off all the time. I don't know about you, but my decision-making is not really at its best when when my tank is empty. It's like, ooh, did I really say that, or did I really react that way? So keeping your tank topped off from the heart all the time.
Yeah, and you know, we talk about how breathing is an intake of spirit mm-hmm. and release into spirit. So I figure it's the breathing combined with the focus on the heart that turns it really into a, sort of a spiritual consciousness raising mm-hmm. sort of practice. Mm-hmm. So would you share a little bit about how you've applied it in your own life, results you've
had? And I have to laugh because Reverend Paul asked me if I would do that. And I was like, wow. My new normal is it was hard to remember what life was like before, actually. But I will share that there was a lot of trauma, drama, tough divorce, car accident with neck and back injuries that put me in physical therapy for a year and a half, and a lot of stress related to international consulting. That's not my world anymore. It's just, it's almost like the best metaphor I've been able to come up with is consistent heart math practice is sort of like getting new shock absorbers. Have you ever ridden in a car that has shock absorbers that are about ready to go? It's not a fun ride. Lots of ups and downs. I would say I had a lot of highs and I had a lot of lows. And now the ride, I won't say that there things don't happen, but they don't impact me in the same way, and the ride is a lot smoother. And I know many, many of you here in the congregation know that about 20 months ago, I was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of breast cancer. I'm doing amazingly right now, but the resilience that I used from HeartMath in framing that journey was critical. In fact, there was a really funny conversation I had with my oncologist. She said, Sandy, I don't know what you're doing, but you're really in the top percentage of how people are managing the chemo and the treatment. And she said, whatever it is, keep it up. And I said, well, actually, I do know what I'm doing, and I will. And it was all about HeartMath for myself and sharing it with the people, other people in the treatment room.
And so, there resilience. Were physical benefits, but also sort of you framed your cancer journey a little bit differently as a result of doing, did you speak about
well,
that?
I was devastated because I was on a trajectory, I was on a roll, and that was not my plan. And so the only way that I knew how to manage that was frame it as an adventure, and as a spiritual adventure too. One of the affirmations I had was, this is going to be a year of discovery, transformation, and transcendence. Mm. So that really was how I was framing that year. And one of the things that we have talked about is that I really do consider HeartMath a spiritual practice. I don't talk about it with all my clients. I'm culturally appropriate about how I frame it. But my experience is that it really connects us with our higher self, and therefore our access to God much, much more strongly, so that whenever we're operating in life, we're operating from that place of guidance, just like, and dancing with the change, just like we had in that daily word. So we're getting the input from spirit in a much more profound way. So I consider it a highly spiritual practice. And may I share this funny story since we're rolling?
Sure.
I was out at Boulder Creek, California, which is where HeartMath is based, and I was fortunate enough to have lunch with Roland, which was a big deal. And I said, I'm not going to ask you this question in front of everybody else because we have a lot of different people in the room. But I said, Roland, this is a yes-no question. I said, my experience and the people I work with is that by consistently getting into coherence, it connects them with their higher self. And he said, absolutely, we just don't talk about it in every circle.
So one of the things I love about HeartMath is that it's accessible to everybody. I mean, it's really returning to your center, reconnecting with your center. With that said, just for those of you who are curious or might be interested, when I do HeartMath under Sandy's tutelage, there's an app called Inner Balance, and it has a sensor that comes with it when you purchase it, and you plug it into your smartphone, and then you hook it onto your ear, and it allows you to monitor your coherence level. And, you know, you're breathing into a certain rhythm and out, and so you're watching as you are getting in coherence. You're either in low, medium, or high. Low is red, medium is blue, high is green. And what I love about that, in addition to getting the coaching that helps me apply all of it, is that it's helping me tune into subtle energies. You know, a lot of your healers I know out there, you're very attuned to subtle energies. And to the point where now I close my eyes, and I always start out in red, and then I can feel a shift, and I'll think, oh, I think I just went to blue. And so I'll open an eye, oh, yeah, I went to blue. And then I think that's green. Oh, I'm in green, you know, which of course then drops you right back down to red. But anyway, but what I notice is that it really is like a physical sensation of aligning. That it's almost like things dropping away, the thought, the worry, whatever. Until at least for me, and you can speak about your coherence experience, but coming to a point, I would say, of absolute stillness. There's just this still point at the center of everything. It was like we were hearing in the song that Janetta was singing. And when you're there, there is a sense of complete unity.
Absolutely. And over time, you learn to sense it internally, so you know whether you're in coherence or not, whether or not you're using the sensor or not.
Yes.
So that any time, any place, you can tap into that and know you're there.
Yeah, you can self-regulate.
Absolutely.
You know, inside. It strikes me, I expect many of us can relate to that idea of being wired, tired, and stressed, and a little bit overwhelmed. So we understand there's personal value here, but what is the greater value that comes from individuals getting into coherence?
Well, I think one of the things that Roland touched on is we're always broadcasting what we've got going on for ourselves emotionally, whether we're broadcasting love or compassion, or whether we're broadcasting anger or frustration. And that not only impacts us, it impacts those around us, whether it's our family, our workspace. So that's the first level. It's really about the ultimate self-responsibility. What am I feeding the field with what I'm broadcasting with my emotions? Mm-hmm. And then on a much larger sense, I think, and I love why this is so consistent with our mission and vision that we start our service with every day, is that many, or I would say most, of the profound challenges facing us, not only individually, but as a world, are only going to be tackled from a different place of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the old paraphrase of Albert Einstein, you can't solve a problem from within the level of consciousness that created it. So allowing ourselves, each doing our part, and the groups we're so profoundly a part of, to shift that consciousness to create an opening for a different level of guidance to deal with the change from a more inspired place.
There's so much we could talk about, and we have limited time today, but would you like to share a little bit about what you'll be doing in your workshop this afternoon?
Okay. So from 1 to 3, we're doing a fundraiser for the Breakthrough Campaign, so any of your love offerings will go directly to that. And what I'm going to do is introduce some key concepts of HeartMath and introduce you to a couple of tools as takeaway that you can use anytime in any place. And we wanted to offer the full spectrum of, you know, things that you can do for free. So these tools are, you know, it's a tool, basic tool, you can use it. For those of you who can't stay for the workshop, because of my unique relationship with HeartMath, they allowed me to put it, write a chapter in the book. So that particular technique is also in a chapter in the book. And then just sort of give you, it is called an introduction, because I can't cover 10 hours of material in 2 hours, but what I'm going to do is give you some good solid principles and some good takeaway that you can try in your life, or use in your life.
Great. So how about if we try one right now?
Okay.
So we're going to use our meditation time. Sandy's going to lead us in one of the HeartMath techniques, and then I'll carry it into meditation from there.
Perfect. Okay. So bring your awareness to your heart. And breathing a little slower and deeper than normal. Inhale 5 and exhale 5, or whatever rhythm is comfortable. Now activate and sustain a positive emotion such as love or compassion. And radiate that first to yourself, filling yourself up, and then outward to others.
We just continue this gentle practice of breathing in and out through the heart, while maintaining this feeling of love, compassion, appreciation. In and out. So we enjoy a few moments in the silence. Take a moment to simply remember that this inner space is always available to us. This beautiful sanctuary within, the spirit energy, place where we find God, and we are restored and renewed, and we are grateful. Thank you, sweet spirit, and so it is.